Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everyone.
Michael Petro.
I am Charles Fernandez.
Out in Vancouver.
Bowling old Martin Navarro.
I don't think we... This is the first time we've seen you since you took off, right? This is
the
first
episode back. Yeah, I was in Asia.
Yeah.
Philippines and Japan.
No shit. Wow. How was that?
Yeah. Philippines, fun seeing relatives. The smaller islands are great, but it's just... Manila is so congested and crowded.
Shit.
If you had to go somewhere, you basically add 45 minutes to your travel time if it's during the hours of 7 and 9 p.m. 7 a.m., 9 p.m.
Oh, my God.
So all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. You're pretty much traveling so much. But Japan's awesome. If you haven't been to Tokyo, I think it's my favorite city in the world. I would move there in a heartbeat if they had an English-speaking comedy scene.
Oh, for sure.
I've always wanted to go.
You know what? They do everything so well, like food, like entertainment so well that I'm willing to overlook their slight racism. Because there are some bars and restaurants that don't cater to foreigners, only
wow.
Japanese people.
Wow.
Yeah, you go
wow.
in, you're like, and Quebec. You're just like,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, close. And I was like, but there are people here.
Yeah.
Close. And I'm like, oh, there's only Japanese people here.
Yeah.
That's why.
I'm
you're
a
like,
foreigner
this
in my
is
own
racism.
Country.
Oh, I don't like
but
this.
But I mean, they make some good fucking spaghetti. If you go to Japan, go to an Italian
really,
restaurant and order meat sauce spaghetti in Japan. It's
That's
so
insane.
Fucking good. It's unlike anything I've ever tasted.
Cool.
Can you tell me, like... Now that Jollibee came here to Winnipeg, how many Jollibees are everywhere out in the Philippines? Because that's where it came from, right?
Well, that's like their McDonald's.
Okay,
yeah.
So right? They're everywhere.
It's their fast food place that's been around, I don't know how long. It's been around for a long time, but that's like, that's McDonald's for them, right? So
I love it. You were quiet.
It's different. It tastes different than in North America. The sweet spaghetti is not as sweet in the Philippines. They overdo it in North America just to kind of sell it, be like, oh, here's some sweet spaghetti.
Right.
With extra sugar.
Yeah.
Right. So. They know their market.
Yeah, exactly.
You were quiet in the chat group, and then you just did your standard, like, whenever you go east, you're like, the toilets out here are amazing post.
I got a funny story about Jollibee really quickly.
Yeah, do it.
It was my grandma's birthday. Here's the thing in the Philippines. Liquor is so cheap that I was polishing off a bottle of scotch like pretty much every 2 to 3 nights. Like a 2-6. A really good scotch. Like expensive
That's
scotch. So it's my grandma's birthday. I had like a quarter of a bottle of Bruichladdich left. Polished that. And then my auntie brought, like, she got a gift, like a 12-year-old Tomat tin. And I polished that night. And the next day, I was so fucking hungover. We had to do like a 4-hour drive to this like little resort town in the Philippines. And we were all like, there was like maybe 12 of us in the back of this kind of like, not a van, but it was like a Jeep, but it was covered. It was air conditioned. We stop at Jollibee. Everyone orders food. I'm still too hungover to eat anything. Like, I'm about to
throw up. I know this, Martin.
They're all eating it in the car.
Oh, my God.
The smells were just like, the whole time I was like, I'm going to throw up. Just hold it. Don't throw up. I like
stay on target
a few times to the smell of like Jollibee when you're hungover. It's not good.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Sometimes those mornings after where you're like, all I need is some grease. As soon as you smell food, you're just totally fucked.
But there's
that was the only time I was hungover. Like every other time where I polished off a bottle of scotch, I was drinking the right amount of water. So I was fine the next day. But this one, I was like, you know what? I just drank way too much scotch.
That's so
no
brutal.
Water.
Said by Martin Navarro. Well, welcome back, dude. I'm glad you had a blast. You did comedy out there too, right? How was that?
Did. We went to Tokyo Comedy Bar. Fun time.
Cool.
Very like it's weird. It's Tokyo. You wouldn't expect like an English speaking comedy scene, but there's one bar that does it in like Shibuya District, which is like Shibuya District. You know that when you see the thing in Tokyo where all the people are crossing, that crossing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where it was near there. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, English-speaking comedy scene. They have a lot of expats that come to watch the show and also, like, people who work in Japan who aren't citizens, but, you know, they're English-speaking, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
they get a lot of tourists, which was fun. So,
cool.
Yeah, interesting to see a little comedy show out there. So, yeah.
Fucking awesome.
Fun times.
Cool.
Well, now that he's back in action, welcome back to the show, listener. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. This week on the show, we have accidentally timed this episode to... Drop with Barbie. Is it Barbieheimer to everybody here, or is it Oppenarby? Like, what do we?
I think I've been saying Barbieheimer.
Barbenheimer, I think, is the proper terminology. So it's Barbenheimer weekend, and it's the release of the Barbie movie and Oppenheimer at the same time, which I can't remember the last time two huge, like, they avoid this at all costs.
Funny enough, you guys are going to laugh. The last one I really remember, Nolan was involved as well. It was The Dark Knight and Step Brothers.
That was the same weekend.
Yeah, and I went and saw them on a double whammy.
You got to go back to back on that one, right?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, that was a great one.
And that's a good time, right? Because you're like, I love superheroes, so I'll get into this dark world, and then I'll go laugh a bit.
And I don't think we all were so excited for The Dark Knight, but I don't think anybody expected it to be so good.
It was insane watching it
and then seeing Step Brothers and the same thing kind of happened. I'm like, this will be funny. Will Ferrell's funny. And that was so funny that, like, you come out and you're like, movies are great.
Yes.
This was great.
Dopamine.
All the spectrum of emotions on those two movies.
Literally.
Batarangs and so much room for activities.
Yeah, literally.
So. I wish they did the Batuzzi, though. In the Dark Knight. That's the only thing that's missing in my review.
No bat dance in The Dark Knight. So it's that weekend. It's a drama filled weekend. Two big movies at the same time. Warner Brothers trying to piss off Nolan by releasing at the same time.
I totally forgot about that.
Right, like they're totally fucking trolling the bastard. We decided. Me and Jimmy were pitching this one back and forth. Jimmy's off camping, enjoying the outside world, while us losers sit in a basement here. It probably smells because Sean has been away for a day so far. So I'm sorry, Charles, how bad it smells.
Smells great.
Smells fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We'll hang around after. I'll show you where it doesn't.
Must.
In his pants.
We thought Ryan Gosling ain't the only motherfucker who can be Ken. Right?
Right.
And if this is a little bit of Ken, like, we know Barbie's story. We don't know Ken's story.
Yeah.
And from the trailers we've seen, we've got every Ken imaginable, which is going to be so much fucking fun.
Yeah.
So me and Jimmy were like, why don't we get some Kenergy? Hashtag Kenergy.
Yeah.
And I'll try to make ourselves Ken dolls based on who we are as people.
Yeah.
So like our eccentricities, our weird habits, our hobbies, our persona. So we're going to accessorize ourselves for you today, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to present the Charles Ken doll, the Martin Ken doll, and the Michael Ken doll for the Barbie universe. And we're going to figure out who came up with the best one. We're also, because it's a double feature weekend, we're going to talk about our favorite Nolan movies, moments, why the guy is the fucking king of... I mean, he's my director. He's my bottom bitch.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't go anywhere without a Nolan movie, like, somewhere near me that I can get. Like, as long as there's a streaming service that's got a Nolan movie in it, I'm going to keep paying for that.
Yeah.
Dude, I've watched Dunkirk so many times.
Right?
He's definitely one of those filmmakers, like, you don't even need to know what the movie's about.
No.
You're like, oh, it's a new Nolan movie. Yeah, I'm pumped.
Is it about time? Sign me the fuck up.
Yeah. I remember seeing the poster. The first way I found out about this movie was a poster. And the first poster was like obnoxious in a way. It was just the close up of an explosion and a silhouette of a man.
Yes.
And it just said Oppenheimer. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but awesome. That's Nolan? Cool.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell does that even mean?
It's going to be on film. He's got balls. Let's fucking do this, right? Yeah. So,
I like it. It's the shadow that, you know, that famous shadow people see when, that picture from Hiroshima and Nagasaki of that.
That's right.
That's right. Forever.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's super fucking smart. Yeah. Good catch, Martin. Yeah. Wow.
This whole thing.
Well, I am very intelligent.
And humble, too.
Very humble about it today.
So that's what's on the show for you, listener. But before we get into it, some of us have shameless side projects that we love to promote here. They're not shameless. They're actually really fun, but we shamelessly promote them. And if you don't want to listen, you're more than welcome to skip ahead. But I suggest you do, because Martin's got a really great comedy show out in Vancouver right now. I'm going to shut up and drink my drink and let Martin tell you all about it.
August 6th, we are back at Clue Club in Gastown, downtown Vancouver. It's a long weekend. Hit capacity for our last two shows, so you might want to get tickets early.
Nice.
Eventbrite is on the Real Debaters page. We'll post the Eventbrite for tickets, but we have Alana Brittany headlining. She's very funny.
She's one of
Vancouver's best comedians. And also we have our hospitality guest, Johnny Latham, who works at Lamplighter, also in Gastown. So come out, support some local comedy.
I'm also
going to be at Yuck Yuck Surrey on the 22nd. My first time performing there, so come out, Surrey, if you're there. And the week after, from the 23rd to the 29th, I will be in Montreal doing some local shows out there. So if you're in Montreal, I'll be posting the shows on my Instagram account. So yeah, just come down, watch me do some, tell some dick jokes.
Please make video of all of your travels so that we can post them and share them, and you can share all your fun moments.
Yeah,
just doing like a east to west fucking Canadian tour there, except Montreal and Surrey. Yeah. But I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's fucking awesome. Cool,
no,
man.
That's
yeah,
wicked,
no,
man.
And if you...
Surrey is pretty far to get to Surrey from downtown Vancouver. The transit alone is 2 hours.
Yeah, shit. I did that drive when we were in Vancouver.
But hey, man, that's awesome though. Yuck Yucks, that's awesome.
That's the shit.
Yeah, first time doing it, so I'm
that's
pretty
wicked.
Excited.
Get
that's
in the
wicked.
Yuck Yuck scene and then be like, hey, listen, I'm from Winnipeg. You should send me back to the Yuck Yucks in Winnipeg, motherfuckers, and pay for it.
Yeah.
Totally. So yeah, and just if you can follow Martin through the Real Debaters page. If you go to the link in our bio, everybody's side project's there. So if you just want to have him in your life and you don't want to go through the Real Debaters page, it's all there. The Clue Club comedy stuff's there as well, too. For Charles, you make stuff. You have a thing.
I do, yeah. So I have a side gig, The Nerdgasm. Basically just reviewing, looking at nerd stuff, me ranting more.
He jizzes all over the screen to nerd stuff is really what he's
basically
trying to get
at. Yeah. Marvel, DC, all of it, video games, all that shit.
Lots of jizz.
Charles, question.
Yes.
From Vancouver. Yeah. Hi, Martin Navarro. Question from Vancouver.
Long time listener.
When I listen into the Nerdgasm, should I bring a raincoat?
It wouldn't hurt, my friend. You know?
What's that front row like at the Nerdgasm?
I mean, we deliver every time, so sure. Let's just say that.
Sure,
oh, yeah. It's messy, but it's
pineapple
a good mess.
Juice all week long.
It's the right mess. It's the right mess you want. But yeah, head over to youtube.com/CFBomb. All up. Episodes are streaming right now. There is more episodes on the way. It's just, it's been a crazy summer, and I'm finding time. But yeah, no, the Nerdies will be coming out.
Sure, yeah, dude. Yeah. Hey, man, you're in school and you're living life, and it's the summertime, and
it's
a sexy summer, boys.
Yeah,
it's
that's right. That's right.
Well, look at that
that's
fucking
right.
shirt that he's wearing.
Yeah,
right.
That's
like,
right.
I don't know. Did you see it, Martin? Can you see it?
I see it. I can see Ken.
Hey, man.
You said Kenergies.
Proud
so.
Men wear pink. And
that's right. That's right.
I dig that fucking shirt. I should have worn my pink shirt. I've got a hot pink shirt upstairs. I didn't even think to fucking choreograph for the episode today. And then us, the listener, also Nerdgasm is on the link in the bio and the regulators too. So you can add him in a rotation instead of having to just, you know, see the odd thing that he does through our page. You can go directly to his and subscribe. And that's on YouTube. That's the link, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's so the YouTube has all the full episodes, and then the Instagram page, which is also at the link in the Real Debaters. The Instagram page has stuff that's just like more for Instagram and whatnot. So yeah, reasons to visit both.
Content creation, you got to have like your Instagram, your Twitter, your Threads now, your Facebook, your YouTube. Like they're all. It's like why can't we just make the same shit and unilaterally just keep it the same?
Yeah. Well, it will. Disney's going to buy everything, and then it'll just be Disney at Disney.
Sure. Charles at Disney.
Yeah, Charles at Disney dot Disney. Yeah.
Hashtag Disney
dot,
stock up on raincoats.
Yeah. Dot Apple question mark.
Disney after dark.
Disney after dark.
Did you ever hear that they were trying to do a thing called Disney after dark?
Yeah.
Like the Kingdom Keepers, where like Disney comes alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kevin Smith was supposed to write that.
Oh, really?
And then it got shit canned.
They did. Well, maybe, I don't know. Goosebumps was popular, and they did the same thing.
They did.
Right?
Yeah.
That's basically the formula they did. So
much I just want to live there.
Yeah.
There's beard hair all over my microphone.
Never leave.
Do I ever spit beard hair in your face, Charles, when I'm talking to you?
No.
Beard hair all over my microphone.
I think that's just how you know it's your mic.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
You need some alopecia for your face.
Just a beard trim. Anyway, so enough about my facial hair. August 11th weekend and September long weekend. The Real Debaters will be at Assiniboine Park for Movies in the Park. We're hosting.
That's right.
They're going to give us a microphone, Charles.
They're giving us a microphone to actually host it.
Yeah, we're on stage.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, I ran into Joy.
At the Lyric.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's great.
She let us do it last year. Then I said something not kid friendly, you know me.
Yeah.
And then after she was like, okay, if you continue to do this, you just have to do it this way. And I was like, I'll take notes. I don't mind you telling me what to say. So,
Are you guys ready for fucking E.T.?
Yeah.
Fuck!
Yeah, not.
He's going to foam the fuck home.
Yeah. When you're done, kids, fuck on the floor here. Fuck on the grass after the movie. No, that's not.
That's 5 minutes, 66 seconds. We're going to edit that out.
Yeah. Sure.
Copy that.
Mike just always says, I can pay the fines.
Yeah. Yeah. Sole proprietor. It's all on my shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys have nothing to worry about. Say whatever
That's
the fuck
awesome.
You want.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
But so, yeah, we'll be there. We'll be hosting. We're only going to record for one movie. If you listen to our episodes from last year, we did two. It was a bad fucking idea. Everything's a bad idea when you're learning how to podcast until it isn't. And then we'll record. If you see us recording, come over and talk to us. If you feel like it, we'll be talking about the movie that's playing in the background. So
that's right.
If you see us talking during E.T., that means if you have an E.T. story or an E.T. moment, or you know, you dressed up as E.T. like I did when I went to Universal Studios, like come over and share it with us.
I can't wait.
And then if you're like, I don't know if I want that out in the world after. We'll cut it. Just be like, come over to us after. Get out. Like, I don't want people to feel
all
that
white power stuff I said. You guys can edit that out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got it, Phil.
Refrain from alt-right comments.
Yeah. Stay on this side of the comment section, listener. But yeah, if you don't want it in there.
Tuxedo. Refrain.
if you decide after you've said something you don't like, just contact us and we can not put it on. It's not a thing that will live in perpetuity like we are here. So again, August 11th. And September long weekend, we will be Friday night, Movies in the Park. The 11th is, I was wrong about this. I've been saying this for like weeks. I'm like, it's Soul and E.T. It's actually Turning Red and
E.T. It's Turning Red and E.T.
And
yeah, E.T. That's right.
And which Turning Red's great. I'm a dude and it has nothing to do with me, but it was great.
No, that was a good one, yeah.
And then the last weekend is Super Mario Brothers, the new one.
Yes.
And
Guardians.
And Guardians, yes.
That's right.
Ooh. Yeah.
Guardians 3.
Guardians Volume 3.
Yeah.
So,
which is still a fresh release. Both of them pretty much are. I'd say like Super Mario Brothers is kind of too.
Yeah, and I got a quote from them about movie licensing. It's only like $300 to play Guardians. It's not expensive.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought Disney would have been like way more of a dick.
No.
I mean, not like 300. Like,
well,
like
that's what you're paying to the licensing company.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're paying to Disney, but you can do it for pretty cheap. Anyway,
souls.
That's shameless promotion. End it. Cut it right there.
Boom.
All right, so let's step off this mortal coil, ladies and gentlemen, and get into it. Now, normally, we do what did you watch this week, as you've learned from the show. But today, we're going to do our favorite Nolan moments, movies, scenes, characters, whatnot. We're going to chew through that because we were trying to do a Barbie and Oppenheimer debate in the same episode. That's too much fucking work.
Yeah.
So we're just going to enjoy the man for a minute.
We were talking earlier, like basically saying Nolan is one of those directors in our lifetime, at least, that like we don't even need to know what the movie's about. We see a Nolan movie and we're like, hey, take our money. So, I mean, this guy, you know, it was funny looking at IMDb. It's just one of those filmmakers, too. He's at a point you look at his filmography and it's unbelievable the movies that this man is a part of.
He's only directed one he didn't write.
Yeah, right. And a great like... So for me, just thinking Nolan always, Inception is always going to be one of my favorite movies of all time. I think that movie just melted my brain on a level of like, I just loved it. I loved the way he made it. Like, you know, one of the most iconic things is the whole hallway scene with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and knowing that
that's practical effects.
They rotated an actual fucking hallway. And
that was crazy. Talk
about that.
Right? Like that shit was unbelievable. And what was so neat was... the whole winter, like the whole third level where they're like basically in the winter level.
In the Inception.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah. That was all filmed in Calgary.
I talked to the prop master who was on that shoot.
Dude, so neat how they did that. It was so neat. They used the old Olympic grounds, eh? The old Olympic like.
Ooh.
Shout out to Dean Goodine, prop master on Inception.
So cool.
I'll tell you a story about Leo after, but go on.
Well, he did a great job because that was fucking so cool what they did. Like, I don't know. The movie was like. What I love about Christopher Nolan is he will always be ambitious, and for him, he only truly really uses CGI when he has to, and he doesn't let it, you know what I mean? And it's just to kind of finish or just to polish it off always. Like, this man will always, always do practical when he can, and I just will always love that, you know? And, like, something like Inception, like, knowing that when a building blows up, it's actually like, they built it. And they blew
Dark
it
Knight.
Up, right?
Dark Knight Rises.
Mm. Totally.
Right? The hospital.
Totally. Yeah.
He's like, we'll demo it. We'll pay for it just on my schedule.
And again, another incredible scene. And that's also with like Heath Ledger is when he's banging on the thing because it didn't go off right away. And that was actually
hilarious.
And that actually fucked up. Like that wasn't part of it. That was the timer wasn't going off properly, staying in character, and then it does, and you see him jump and then go right into the bus. Like, that's unreal, right? Like,
that's a perfect moment.
Yeah, that's one of my
moment caught on camera.
One of my coolest, like, or one of my favorite Nolan, like, behind the scenes is like that. Yeah, so when he's actually like doing that, it's not. It was supposed to go right away, and he's staying in character, and Nolan's like rolling. And then it actually goes, and you see Heath kind of jump, and then he goes right back in, and it's just like, it's a beautiful take. Like, yeah, no.
It is, because it shows the close-up, like the medium shot of the explosion, and then the big aerial shot of the whole building going.
And the way they explained it, too, is like they had engineers go in and cut into the building diagonally so that when it blows, it does that nice, beautiful effect of like falling, and you see the like
World Trade Center.
I mean,
I'm just kidding.
I love that because that's a cool little moment because that's something that we don't normally see the Joker.
Yeah.
Like, Joker is still a regular person, like a normal human being.
Right.
And that, like, that little shock, like, so he is just a regular person. He's like a superhero. He's a regular person.
And his whole theme, like, Nolan's theme of Joker in his world is chaos. He just really is chaos.
Just want to see the world burn, Charles.
Right. And that whole thing is also, like, it's unpredictable. So seeing those moments, and if it's going to happen to anybody, it makes sense for the Joker to be like, oh, the button doesn't work right away. Or when he even straight up says, do I look like a guy with a plan? Like, right? Like, right? It's
I'm gonna make this pencil disappear.
It was so good. Like, it was, yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's like Dark Knight, Inception, and Prestige, Memento. I'm such a Memento fan, too.
I want to tell you this before it leaves my brain. So DiCaprio had two pairs of boots for the ski scene. And one of them was if he was cold, they could double up the socks. And then one was for if it was nice out, then he would just fit into it. So they somehow messed up the bindings for one set of boot with the skis with another. And Dean was there as a prop assistant. He actually wasn't head of prop department. And he was in the trailer when they were doing this. So it was him and the prop master. No one else knew. He's basically just going along, being told what to do. They get to set. The helicopter's there. Everybody's ready. It's like 300 fucking people.
Yeah.
Money, 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 money going. All of a sudden, Leo goes to click into his boots, and they don't click, right? And there's only one other person who knows why they don't click, which is Dean. And you've never seen a human move that fast in your life. Books it right back to the trailer, grabs everything, comes back, slides back down on the ground. They click it into place. The camera's already rolling.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go, right?
Yeah.
And he was supposed to do a day. As soon as that scene was done, Nolan goes over to the prop master, talks to him about it. He says he stays on for the rest of the shoot.
Love it.
Like,
oh, and that's right from Nolan, too.
That's right from Nolan. Like, that guy saved the fucking shot.
Keep him.
So you keep him.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's the only one who was like, he was paying attention.
Totally.
Anyways, sorry to cut you off. But
no, that's awesome. That's awesome.
And it's when you do those big attempts, right?
Yeah.
You don't lose in CGI like that. You don't almost fuck up when you've got computer graphics
at
your disposal.
One thing I will say, too, about Nolan, and I miss about buying physical movies, Blu-rays or whatnot, I bought a special edition Memento. And it comes in as the case folder on...
Shut up.
I can't remember his name, but Guy Pearce's character.
Yeah, that's
the case. And when you take out... It's two discs. There's one is special features.
Freddie something was the character that he referred to himself as.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched it in its full order?
Yeah, so that's one of the things,
the
too.
The special
is
feature is the...
Take it out.
Yeah.
It has the case that actually has the discs is the blue diaries that he was writing
Leonard Shelby. Thank you, not
so it's
Freddie.
His case folder. You take it out. And then it's a diaries he wrote in, and it actually comes with, like, what looks like a notepad, and it's actually, like, behind-the-scenes, like, photos and stuff. Yeah, and then one of the, like, it has also, like, a display, like, it has a note of, like, all the tattoos he has, like, a record of all the tats that say, like, don't trust anyone, blah, blah, blah. It's so neat, and, like, one of the special features, and it has it written like a sticky note, but it's, like, part of the case, is it's... Hey, click. It's like bonus feature 224, something like that. And when you put in that disc, if you just go to what says 24, it plays it in the right order. Yeah. And the way that it's edited is it's like it rolls like film. Like you hear the projector going. So it's supposed to be like behind the, like hidden. This was hidden from like the public, blah, blah, blah. And you figured it out. So it has like the rolling film thing, and then it shows the movie, and it's like in the right order, kind of thing like that.
That's fucking stellar.
It's so neat. Like, it's so neat, and I it was one of those things.
It's almost
like,
interstellar.
Well done, sir.
He knew. He knew.
He's paying attention.
But yeah, no, I think Nolan is just, I think we all agree, he's a genius. And like, I'd have to say, though, if I had to pick one, I always tell people, like, a movie I always ask people if they've seen is Inception.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Have you been Incepted?
I'd blow Christopher Nolan. What about you guys?
I would eat his ass.
Yeah. I mean, I would.
You can go front. I'll go back, man. We could
that shaft. Drink that man gravy.
Oh, God. And chuggle it down.
I would bury my face in his man pillows. Martin, what's yours?
So,
this is a hard one.
Inception.
Okay.
It just came out in theaters. I've never seen it. And, you know, my buddy said, let's go watch it. So we go. And before we go, like most people do, we watch it. We're watching it at Silver City Polo Park. And before we go in the theater, like most people do, we smoke weed.
At
the time, I wasn't really smoking. I wasn't really like smoking a lot of weed, so my tolerance was way, way low.
Someone went on a trip,
and we smoked a cross joint, basically.
Oh my God!
Yeah, between three people, two of us went to watch the movie, one just left and went home.
Went somewhere else.
So we smoke a cross joint, and we get to the theater. We're buying our snacks. Then we get to the movie. I'm sitting very front row because we're late. So we get there. I'm sitting down. All I see, it's at the point where he's in the first dream, the very first dream, and the people are going nuts.
Oh, it's like the riot on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah. So I sit there with my buddy, and he's like, oh, I'm just going to go get some napkins outside. Can you just watch my stuff? So he has his, you know, leaves his snacks there.
Yeah.
His jacket. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, like, I black out. And then credits. That's how I wake up to his credits.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I black out. I wake up to credits. I look next to me. My buddy's stuff is still there.
Oh, my God.
His jacket's still there. And I'm like, oh, maybe he wasn't hungry or maybe he had to do something. He had to leave for work. So I get his jacket. I leave his food there. And then I go to the lobby and I'm like, where is this guy? Maybe he's in the bathroom. So I look in the bathroom. He's not there. I text my buddy who I was with and I'm like, yo, have you heard from him? Like, he was, you know, he said he was going to go get napkins. I passed out at Inception. Oh, crap, he wasn't there. Right? So we're, like, wondering where he is. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go home. And I didn't have a ride, so I had to, like, take a taxi from Polo because he was my ride.
Oh, my God.
So then I go home. So funny. And we're, like, you know, we're kind of getting worried because no one's heard from him. So, like, we're, like, should we call the hospitals or should we call the cops? Like, it's weird that he's not responding.
Did he get incepted?
At all.
Yeah.
A few hours later goes by, one of our buddies texts us and he's like, yo, did you know that your boy's in the hospital?
What?
And we're like, what? He's like, yeah, he's in the hospital. He's at what was the one up Portage? Is it Victoria?
Grace.
The one up by Unicity?
Grace.
Oh, Grace Hospital.
He's at Grace Hospital. And we're like, oh shit. So we all my buddy picks me up. We all drive down there and meet him. And we basically what the fuck happened to you? And then he's like, last thing I remember is I'm sitting down to Inception. You went to the lobby to get some napkins or some shit like that. And then I passed out, woke up, it was credits, you weren't there. He's like, well, I go to the lobby to get the snacks or the napkins and the straws. And while I'm getting them, I just, it starts to go black all around my eyes, like the peripheral vision. Everything starts to go black, like he's about to faint. And he puts his hand against the railing, and it just basically he faints. So he faints, passes out. He's being revived
by some
off-duty nurse who was in the hospital at that time. They call an ambulance basically to ship him to Grace Hospital.
Jesus fuck!
And I'm just like, why didn't anybody know about this? I asked the staff, like, do you see this like a white guy bald?
Is this Chris?
Yes, it's Chris. The shift change happened, so the staff didn't know about it.
Oh, my God.
Came in. So just he basically passed out. He was in a fucking ambulance, and during the ambulance, he comes to, and he's, yelling at the ambulance drivers, don't incept me, don't incept me.
Oh, my God.
Because he's seen the movie before. He wanted to see it twice.
Yeah.
I thought I got incepted because he was, he wasn't there. So I'm like, what the fuck is happening? But
oh, my God.
We basically had to revive him. And he was hooked up to, I don't know, all the shit at the hospital. Eventually, he got out. He got released the night of. And we're like, well, I guess let's go drinking. So we went drinking right after he got released from the hospital.
Oh, my God.
And I never saw Inception in theaters. I only saw, like, the first maybe 5 minutes and then the credits. That was it.
That's the best. I've never heard that story. And
that
I've known him for so long.
So funny.
That's fucking amazing.
That's hilarious.
The story is best because it's still told in like three parts. So It's told in my version, Chris's version, and then our other buddy who was smoking with us there. And we're all just kind of piecing everything together. And then our buddy who sees him at the hospital also tells a part. So
we
always tell it in like three parts, which is hilarious. Or three perspectives, not parts.
When you watched it the second time, did you have like the biggest cup of coffee so you didn't fall asleep?
Well, I watched
you were
DVD
worried
at home, so you know what I mean. Like, I had the DVD, I was like, I'm gonna watch this finally. Yeah. A Blu-ray, I got the Blu-ray for PlayStation 4.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm finally gonna watch this movie, and I'm like, yeah, I finally stayed awake. It was awesome, it was amazing.
Oh my God,
yeah,
that's too funny. I've seen Chris faint before too. Like, me and Martin have gone out hard, and he's
a fainter. What are you gonna do?
He is a fainter.
Can't handle
he
his toxins
in the middle of his wedding.
Oh my God,
and like,
shit.
Caught him, and like, he loves telling the story of, like, as soon as he went down, I was like, talk to me, Goose. Come on, wake up, buddy.
Oh my God,
come back.
That's so funny.
That
also sounds just like the greatest viral marketing ever for Inception,
honestly.
Yeah,
what was that movie where the Smile, where they did the viral marketing?
Yeah.
You tell this story,
yeah,
and everybody's like, is Inception real?
Yeah,
right? Like, is it, can this really, because like, yeah, you, when they wake up and they don't know where they are, you don't know if you're out of the dream or not yet.
Yeah.
So Martin's like, am I in the dream from this movie?
I had no idea, man. I smoked that cross joint. I was fucked.
That's
way
so
too much.
Fucked.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
So
right?
fucked. What a movie too for it.
It is. I Inception. All right, I'll continue the trend here. Like, Inception was my first Nolan movie.
Whoa.
I didn't have Prestige. I didn't have Insomnia. I didn't have Memento. Like, again, guys, like, I've always loved movies, but not for the way I looked at them. I didn't look at them the same way my entire life. I looked at movies as like a dumb puppy.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I never looked at them critically. I never looked at them with a watchful eye. So finding out about all this stuff came way later, and going to Inception, and that was the first movie I ever saw where I didn't see a trailer and knew nothing.
Right.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And then I was like, is this a book? Is this and I believe it's an original idea, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a guy who's like, what if we could travel through our dreams? Now,
Nolan basically, like, he just studied, like, he got obsessed with the idea of lucid dreaming. And, like, the idea, and it is still fascinating. Dreaming is the one thing that it's studied a lot, and there's still no real explanation for
it. My dudes, let me tell you. So, my panda, Shauna, can amazingly lucid dream.
I'm so jealous.
Wow.
I've been with her for 8 years.
I'm so jealous of that.
And she can wake up, go back.
Yeah.
Continue.
Oh, man.
Become self-aware. So other night she's having a dream where one of her biggest fears is when her nails are cracked and whatever, right? Like breaking a nail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in her dream, all her nails are broken. And she realizes what's going on. She's like, this can't be real. I never let my nails get this bad. So in her dream, she's realizing that.
Yeah.
So she, aware in the dream, goes to touch all of her fingernails and wakes up and goes, no, they're all there. And immediately goes right back to the dream going, now I know I'm in my dream.
Yeah.
Let's fucking play.
Yeah, let me be architect.
She can. And I'm telling
That's
you guys,
so
when she'll wake up and she'll tell me stories. And I'm like, this,
That's
like,
wild.
Why would you, like, this is the whole problem with the totem.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
this is coming out of a world that you're in complete control of.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would you want to come back to me when you can do what you can do in your fucking dreams,
totally.
Right? Like,
totally.
That's insane. So Inception has a lot of, like, it always charts to the top.
Yeah.
Excuse me. No matter, like,
can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Before I forget.
Yeah.
If since we're on the kick of Inception and Nolan, what would your totem be?
That's a great one.
That's a good one.
You know what I think? Just because it's so 90s too, I don't know if it would work the same way, but you know, like a Pong?
Oh, yeah.
Like
I get
video
like
game?
Like a Slammer.
Oh,
like,
a Pog Slammer.
A Pog Slammer, yeah.
Yeah, I get like a Pog Slammer.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would work the same. Like, I don't know if I can use that, but.
Something unique to me. I'll go with like my carabiner and my keys because I know how many keys, I know what keys write.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I know
yeah.
the weight of those keys.
That's cool.
Yeah. like my janitor keys, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Martin, what about you?
Mine would be my dick.
Hang on. Because
in my dream, it's always just a little bigger.
You would know right away.
Set up my own joke.
Just gonna measure his dick and be like, fucking yeah. dreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn it, it's not real. Yeah. I know how big
son
it is
of a
in my
bitch.
Hand.
You're always mad in your dream because you know.
Spoiled
son
again.
Of a bitch.
It fits like a glove.
And I, you know what it is? It's like I saw a documentary on the Sound City, one of the last like tape recording studios in LA.
Yeah.
Dave
yeah.
Grohl produced it. Pretty much is like the guy directing it, and it's the story of this insane mixing board and how the sound out of that will never be replicated, the story of digital, all these things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like all those dudes, like you could record on tape or you could record digital, and still going in to do tape even when digital was a thing was like this, like you had this like zhuzh about you, right? Like
yeah.
you were better then because yeah. you could do tape. And because he does film still in yeah. an old fucking 70 millimeter and 35 millimeter
yeah.
format,
yeah,
you have no room for mistakes.
Yeah.
So like when he plays with $200 million,
yeah,
that's a bigger gamble for him than I think he chooses to do that instead
yeah.
of making it easier by going digital.
Well, I think if I read it correctly, too, like he actually went to what, like, roughly the area of where the actual Manhattan Project village was, and they actually
Los Alamos.
Yeah, and they like replicate, like they basically built it to like almost how it was.
They made
to
Los
scale?
Alamos to scale.
Yeah, like essentially to scale. Yeah, like they basically made it to scale, and he like went for it in almost every way, and like it's nuts. Like any like I guess some of the actors like. They didn't live there, but you know what I mean? Like, the way that they were, like, rehearsing and stuff, it was, like, getting the idea of, like, this is your life. This is where you are. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, he takes, like,
And he says no CGI. He says there's no CGI used in the movie at all.
Tenant.
Wow.
Tenant is the plane that he bought and blew up.
Yeah.
So the plane in Tenant's real. The cornfield in Interstellar.
And he did the choreography backwards in Tenant. He
yes.
didn't even rewind it. He did the choreo. He got them to learn the choreography backwards.
That's insane.
It's fucking nuts. To me, again, Tenet, I was more interested in the making of than the actual like movie.
Do you like Tenet?
It was okay. Tenet. You know why? It was somebody told me it,
Tenet.
The way it was built to me was like
Charles, put your hands together. Thank you.
It was like a spiritual sequel to Inception, and I think that was too much pressure. It built it up too much like that, and I
Inception.
Like to me, it was like they positioned it as like a spiritual sequel to Inception, and
it
I didn't
was too
feel
close
that
to Inception is what he's saying.
I okay. didn't feel that way until like maybe the last. Like,
I think more Interstellar. Like Interstellar plays with forward moving time and time travel.
Yeah.
Where Tenet plays with. Reverse, what is it?
Time going backwards.
Time going backwards in entropy, right?
And like just entering it into that point.
Well, are you going through time or is time going through you?
Right.
And can
yeah.
you go
right.
backwards through time while you're going forward? Like
right.
that to me was, because when Matthew McConaughey ends up like at the end, that's my Matthew McConaughey, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of Interstellar when he's
yeah.
in the bookshelf.
Yeah.
He's come
yeah.
back full circle. So
yeah.
that's the thing about like when does Tenet
come
full
cyclical?
Circle? Yeah, exactly.
In Interstellar?
And time is
yeah.
linear.
Yeah.
But you can go both ways, which
yeah.
is fucking, like I had to watch that explanation scene when
yeah.
when he's doing the bullet
yeah.
catch. I had to watch that like 12 times.
Yeah.
I think I watched that movie close to 30 times, just like in chunks to realize what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dunkirk, Martin, you say you
Dunkirk's
watched that.
Dope. I love Dunkirk. That's one of my favorites.
Dunkirk was so good, man. And what was cool about it is it's not like, it's a
true story.
He's got a point. And he films it really like, it's also not really like a movie. It's more like a day in the war.
Yeah.
Based on like, everybody's perception.
Like, exactly.
How
like,
long
everyone
a plane,
in that day.
A boat,
yeah.
the island.
Like, he's not, there's no main character. It's like,
no, it's a
shared
experience.
These, yeah, it's like, and in that 24 hour span, like, I went with my dad, and my dad loves history stuff and whatnot. And my dad was just like, He literally was like, that was one of the coolest movies I've ever seen. It was like, it's not even really a movie. Like, there's so many parts of it where there's no dialogue. You're just watching war.
Shit go down.
Yeah.
But you're
right.
And like the again, the time manipulation is everybody coming to a point together.
Everyone's perspective, coming
but from different timelines.
Totally.
So,
and it's all in a revolving around Dunkirk.
Yeah.
Like, Dunkirk is the main character, I guess, really.
Dunkirk
like,
is,
the, oddly enough, right? Like, it's the location. And, like, even the Tom Hardy thing, like, what? Tom Hardy doesn't even talk, I don't think.
He mumbles.
He grunts and shit, right?
He says stuff. He does.
But that whole dogfight that he does, like, that whole sequence is incredible.
It is.
Like,
and the only critique, and we're bringing it up because it's Tom Hardy, so I go Bane and I go Dunkirk. But, like, why does I don't know why Nolan's guy wins awards for sound. I really, like, I question.
Because I think it's real.
Okay, sure.
A guy with
real.
A mask, you wouldn't really be able to hear him, so the fact that you can't really hear him.
You can stop.
I don't know. I don't know. I think that's bullshit.
No, you wouldn't hear
I think that's bullshit.
You wouldn't hear
but...
That's warm.
Yeah.
Come on. Now. Yeah.
Well, maybe no, now, but maybe back in the day, that old school technology wasn't as great, and it wasn't the sound wasn't as crisp or clear as we get it today.
But I think even Nolan admitted with Bane, the first viewings with audiences with Bane, that was a huge feedback, and Nolan even admitted, like,
you're broken.
Yeah, like, at the end of the day, I get it. The guy's wearing a mask on his face, but if you can't even understand him, like, isn't that kind of comical?
Yeah.
And I think that's when it made him be like, oh, so then they had Tom Hardy actually do, like...
Well, it's comical when Batman's like, huh?
Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah, and he's
Bane,
dressed
I
as a fucking bat.
Like, someone should do a sketch where, like, it's Batman being like, I can't understand Bane, and it cuts to all of Bane's scenes talking, and then Batman's like, dude, you need to enunciate.
I don't know if you guys have watched, but it's on Netflix. Harley Quinn has a show.
I've seen that, like, with Katie Kakuo.
Man, it is great. It's an animated show, and the whole concept of it is, like, she's leaving Joker, and she wants to be her own supervillain. And it's, like, not, like, it's all, it's 18 plus, like, it's so violent and whatever, but Bane's in it, and it's Tom Hardy's Bane. So he's really over the top, and he's like, oh, I don't know. And he's always doing that, and they're always like, dude, why is it this version? One character said, he's like, why is it this version of Bane?
Why are we acknowledging this exists more than one movie?
Because there's, like, Bane from, like, even Bane in Batman and Robin, like, he just grunts. Yeah. He doesn't, like, talk or anything.
He's Poison Ivy's bitch.
Yeah, right? Like, so it's so funny. So that's what Harley Quinn was hoping. But it's Bane from Nolan, so she's like, oh, why is it this one?
I want the other one.
And it's great, yeah. But it's, no, I mean, I think, honestly, I think Nolan is, it's such an exciting filmmaker, and it just shows, like, the sky, whatever he does is...
Well, he does. He reminds me of Orson Welles in a way, where he's like, if I see it, I want to make it.
Yeah.
And I imagine he's probably not in.
But not as good as Paddington 2.
No. No.
He needs to do Paddington 3.
How dare I? Sorry. But no, like there's an interview where they interview Welles, and it's like, you know, and Nolan is a trained filmmaker where Welles wasn't. So they go, how did you figure out what you could do and what you couldn't do? He's like, ignorance. I didn't know I couldn't do it until I did it. So I did everything, and everyone's like, you can't do that. He's like, well, I don't know I can't do that.
But what's funny is, like, Nolan is a trained filmmaker for the era he was trained in, but he still makes films that way, and that's what makes his style unique. Is like,
it's like watching Ben-Hur, but with a fucking, well, probably the same budget with inflation, but, like, it's watching
It's a spectacle. It's a spectacle. Like, the
it's
same way.
It's meant for theater.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, like, not to go too off the rails, but the same way Tom Cruise is like, I make movies for the theater, Nolan really does. Like, he makes his movies for the big spectacle, because that's what his movies are.
Unless it's for Warner Brothers, then it's straight to stream.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to go, they're going to make a deal back. You know they will.
They gave him a 7-figure royalty check for what probably would have been what he would have got paid.
Yeah.
In good faith, because they're like, well, no profit.
Well, I heard they tried to get, like, Oppenheimer with him, and he was just still like, no. Because that's what Universal, I think, is doing it.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah, it is. He just walked across the street.
Yeah. Well, again, and it shows that's Nolan's power. Like, he'll go to any studio and they'll be like, yes.
Oh, they'll spread their legs.
Because I never would think Universal and Nolan, but there they are.
Why not?
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
It's a syncope production. It's a Nolan film.
Also, if Warner Brothers is that dumb, then they deserve to have a studio like Universal take it.
Universal just paid for it.
Yeah.
Literally. They were like, you do your shtick. Martin.
Here's money.
Yeah.
We'll start with you before we close in on this here. If you had to pick a word, not a worst one, but least favorite to most favorite, right? I think Inception has come across, you know, two for you, but, you know, Inception was my first. Is it my favorite, though? You know, I'll go, we'll just do it quickly. Interstellar is my absolute favorite.
Whoa.
Insomnia is my least.
Whoa.
That's only because he directed and didn't write.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, you don't have the double feature with it. So yeah, Interstellar and Insomnia. Charles?
So I would say Insomnia is his most underrated.
Really?
I really like Insomnia. Ooh, okay. I really like it.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just
saying it doesn't get
me excited.
But when you look at it, it's such a young in his career. Like he would have only have made that movie at that point in his career.
Yeah.
Like he wouldn't do Insomnia now. I couldn't see him doing that movie now, let's say.
Well, I think that's a paycheck movie.
For sure. For sure. And he was working with the studio finally, right? Yeah. After. Anyways, so I'd say most underrated. For me, I was not a huge fan of Tenet. Like, Tenet for me.
Really?
I have to watch it again. I only saw it the one time.
Hey, man, it's a rewatch.
But it definitely didn't. I didn't connect with it the same way I did with everything else. But for me, as best, I think Prestige and Inception are tied. I really love Prestige, too. R2 agrees, too.
R2's just falling the fuck over back here. I love this.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd say, man, I mean, yeah, I'd say Inception. Inception, Prestige, or like, but yeah. If I had to pick one, I'd say Inception.
No, totally. I love the Prestige. It's like the magic movie. Martin,
so good.
I got to go with Inception as my favorite. Least favorite, The Dark Knight Rises.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
That's fair.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I wasn't a big fan. I'm like, this is dumb. Like, why are people fist fighting when they have guns?
Yeah.
Sure. Like, why doesn't someone just take a gun and shoot somebody? Why are we all having a big fucking fist fight?
I can go to my room. I have a gun. I can shoot him dead right now. That's what I always think of.
And that, like, fine, Batman doesn't want to use one, but yeah, if you've got guns everywhere and nobody's...
But the criminals. Like, yeah. I'm like, and the cops? I mean, why don't you guys use your guns?
Well, and that's what it is. It's a jailbreak, and the criminals all have guns, but then all of a sudden they have poles and stuff, and then they just start, like, fighting like gangs in New York.
Yeah.
and even, I mean, the cops have guns.
Well, and like the hole being trapped in
the hole. Yeah.
That was a little long. And like the Ra's al Ghul bring back shit. Yeah, like, really? Like, I know this is all in the Dark Knight world.
And why couldn't you just name Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character Dick Grayson?
Right?
Like, yeah.
They teased the fuck out of it.
Because of the family tragedy, he changed it.
They made his name Robin, right?
Original name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the big thing. They're like, what's your name or whatever? Because he's picking up the inheritance.
Robin.
And his name's Robin. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love the series, but yeah, they're not.
I think you can clearly tell, like, what the original sequel was going to be was clearly going to involve Joker and Heath Ledger in some way.
Yeah.
And obviously what happened, Nolan, I think, still made the right decision, which was not to recast. He was just like, well, you know, I can't even use, like, they acknowledge Joker. I think they make one comment that
Catwoman
Joker
was a good
Arkham.
Call, right?
No, I loved Anne Hathaway's Catwoman.
No,
she was awesome.
That was
she was great.
Anne Hathaway was like, yeah, everybody, I have sex appeal, right? Like I always don't get me wrong, I always thought that, but
she
like
also kinda,
she had a lot of wholesome roles before
she
being.
She did. It was like a take on Michelle Pfeiffer's, but also her own.
Rachel Getting Married is one of my favorite movies she's ever done,
and it's like that. Her doing Catwoman with that kind of dark.
Well,
like,
and she's like, I can't be Michelle Pfeiffer, but I'll respect what Michelle Pfeiffer brought to the character.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's Nolan's the shit. I mean, you've got your Oppenheimer tickets already, right, Charles?
We're all bringing our raincoats.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Got Oppenheimer
for
10 a.m.
Are you? I'm looking today at what I can get in that weekend and stuff like that, because there's a family reunion now happening. And
oh, nice.
So I was like, that weekend
was
wide
tonight.
Open.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like people are coming into town, and I'm like, you don't know what weekend you're ruining for me.
It's also like, it's just one of those things where I'm like, it lucked out the way it did. I don't work that weekend, blah, blah, blah. But it's like also one of those movies where if you don't get to see it right away, it's not like you can't be spoiled by like... He makes the atomic bomb in the end. Yeah, you know, like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, can't believe you ruined, you know what I mean? So it's just one of those things where it's like, even if you can't see it right away, as long as you get to see it the way you want to, it's going to be worth it.
Yeah, opening night is not a big deal. Because I've seen Fat Man and Little Boy many times.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the story with Paul Newman.
Yeah.
So, like, I know what we're getting.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, right? Like, there's no, like, oh, I got to see it so that I don't get spoiled.
So how does it end?
Yeah, right.
Right?
Like, Albert Einstein kills everyone.
Yeah. I do want to be in a theater where they cheer for Albert, though. Right? Like, I do want that to be a...
Yeah.
Martin, are you going to do a double feature?
I don't know if I'll do a double feature. I'll probably just watch. I don't even know if I'll watch it opening day, but I'll probably watch it. Maybe if I can, a matinee in Montreal.
Nice.
So have some Hell time yeah. in the daytime. So
yeah, do that when it's a quiet theater. Yeah, and like, yeah. No one can get
I'll
to it.
I'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, and it's like it's in first person narrative too. Hey?
Yeah.
Oppenheimer's talking to you.
Yeah.
He's not. That's first person, right? Is that correct?
Give me my dose of Killian
first
Murphy.
First person would, yeah, it's like from his like complete.
That's
like,
from his yeah. complete perspective.
Yeah, only his perspective.
But it's like a one way conversation to the audience of yeah. like what was done here and what was done there and why this was done and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like a how to video for how to make the atomic bomb from his eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really want to see if they focus on who died during the making of it, because there's two very prominent scientists who got exposed to radiation.
Well, one thing they said that I apparently people didn't expect that they're covering, and I didn't even know about this, is he had an affair while he was
he did.
Doing
That's
it.
That's Florence Pugh's character.
Yeah, and they're exploring that whole
They explore
line.
That, too, in Fat Man and Little Boy. Laura Dern, I believe, is either his wife or the mistress.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah, yeah.
They also explore the fact that they thought he was a communist.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And because he had a previous entanglement with someone who was.
Yeah.
There's a lot of friction between him and Damon's character where, like, he was, like, compartmentalism. He invented compartmentalism.
Yeah.
All right, because it was like telling people only what you need to know to do what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest.
Well, and it's ironic you're hiring someone to make a bomb, and then you're like, it's safe, right? And you're like, well, no, because it's a bomb, but that's the point.
The Manhattan name, too,
like,
came from, I believe, the office where they decided to do this. Is in Manhattan.
Is in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, yeah,
Manhattan Project.
Yeah, and Dr. Manhattan, the birth of Dr. Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan, exactly. and then... There is true fact to that exchange where he's like, so what happens if we push that button? He's like, there's a near zero chance that we could light the atmosphere on fire.
Yeah.
And destroy the world.
Right. Yeah. And also, like, will they show that when atomic weapons were launched, aliens were like, we need to go to that planet.
Will
they have that storyline in there?
That. Oh,
the Vulcans
that.
Are coming.
Exactly.
Start the Mortal Kombat tournament now.
Yeah, exactly. World domination.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's all have one big fuck fest after.
Yeah,
exactly.
All I know is that first test or whatever, when you actually see
the Trinity,
it's
going to
be, wow. It's just going to be like
dynamite.
This is why Nolan did this.
It's dynamite at extreme close up with film.
That's what it is, eh?
So it's real dynamite blast. Because when you get down to it, an atomic bomb is X amount of TNT.
Yeah.
Right. It's just that molecule doing the job of TNT.
Yeah.
At 1,000,000%. So. That's interesting that he was like, well, if they say it's what TNT is, if we get TNT down to its single stick,
right,
could we make that into...
Yeah, and knowing them, they're lowing down, like they're doing the frame rate.
Yeah. And probably overlapping,
totally.
Right? And adding shit in where it sparks and
totally.
Stuff. Like,
totally.
Maybe it's just a lighter. It's a Bic lighter.
Yeah.
Like a Bic lighter.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, there you go, listener. There's some Nolan for you. Subscribe and tune in a few weeks. We'll have a full most cast review of this, I'm sure. We'll try to go see it together. I'd love to just be in the theater with you, Charles.
Yeah.
Because then we can text each other while shit's happening.
Totally.
So I'll look at what
tickets
you
got. I told Claudia, like, I can't wait. Like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. So I was like, all right, let's get fucked up.
Is that the Friday or Saturday?
It's a Saturday morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might have to get up and get some breakfast and just be like, I'm in the back, bud.
Please do it. I'm in the back. Yeah, man. It's IMAX, so we're going for it.
Martin, what time is it?
It is debate time.
My signal. Unleash hell. Push it. Don't push it. I'll give you a war you won't believe.
Goldstein, give me a fat beat to beat my buddy
system. I don't know what kind of guy you are. I never would have agreed to work for you.
Are you gonna bark all day?
Sorry, would you repeat it?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
So, as mentioned at the top of the show, listener, we have decided to give ourselves some Kenergy today and see if we could be a Ken doll in the Barbie universe and how we may play a part in this movie. Like, why would we be in the movie to begin with is kind of what I thought of. And then I was like, I'll just stem from all of that. So I think we just made it simple. It was like, accessorize yourself.
Yeah.
Pick an outfit, right? Because an outfit comes with the toy, right? Yeah. And they're synonymous with their outfits. And yeah. then, like, what your Kennergy is, like, how you kind of would, you know, revolve in the universe of Barbie.
Yeah.
And best Ken doll wins. Hashtag Kennergy. And Charles, you get to give us.
I get to start this baby off, eh?
Do we need raincoats, Martin? What do you think?
I'm putting mine on. Should I get mine?
Okay.
I'm coming with you.
Let's see what I got here. All right. So my Ken doll is a Charles, and he is a Portuguese Canadian.
Ooh,
yeah, so
nice.
He's very strong demographic there, especially in the Toronto and Sargent area of Winnipeg.
Sargent, Winnipeg, and Toronto,
and Toronto everywhere.
Okay.
So you know your classic Canadian story. I was born to immigrant parents in Winnipeg, just a strong following the pop culture and movies and all that. So
a nerdy Portuguese Charles Ken.
That's right. That's right. So my Kennergy is to be the greatest pop culture nerd of all time and be hella cute while doing it. I'm also a stoner in secret, but not really. See? So hella cute. So accessories wise, it'd be like a nerd or like video game shirt, sneakers, cool jeans. I'd have a knapsack, and in there there'd be like some Blu-rays, a controller, some video games, you know, camera, laptop, maybe a notebook and a pen.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know.
You're ready to produce on the fly.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I feel my Ken would so work with your Ken.
And then just to add to it, you know, just to add the, like, for the special edition. So if you get the special edition one, it comes with a bag of Old Dutch ketchup chips.
That's your jam?
There's a joint and a lighter that you can, like, switch into his hand, and he's doing, like, the,
oh,
how'd that happen? And then for the Portuguese market, they'll understand this. It's a sandwich my mom makes.
What's it called?
It's called the Bifana. A Bifana sandwich.
What's in it?
It's like a meat sandwich, basically. It's like pork beef that's soaked in gravy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, with, like, some onions, and then you can put a little bit of, like, coleslaw on top. It's amazing.
Can you, like...
It's our version of, like, pulled pork, but it's not pulled pork. Yeah. Yeah.
Not supposed to make lip-smacking noises on the podcast, but fuck, that's delicious.
Yeah.
Your Ken doll made me hungry.
That's that's the Ken. That's the Ken is Charles doll.
Cool. Martin, do you wanna chew him apart first, or do you want me to go?
You go ahead.
Okay. I love that the nerd Ken has never been explored before. Right? Because I've heard that Ryan Reynolds is like Ryan Gosling. When he got the part, he walked home, saw his kids Barbie's or Ken doll face down in the dirt.
Yeah.
He was like, this story must be told.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I love
like,
that.
Damn it.
Yeah. Right. This isn't how Ken should go out.
Yeah.
So I love your, we need a new kind of Ken, right? We need the less hunky Ken.
Got Beach Ken.
Yeah.
You know,
I would have loved Jim to have Ken. Put your favorite movies in the backpack. Like if you threw some of, you know,
well, those Blu-rays.
Yeah.
I didn't go into too much detail.
Yeah, like what
shout-outs.
Does what
I mean? Inception's in there.
Okay, is it just a backpack full of Nolan?
it's an advanced early copy of Oppenheimer.
Are you tying into the first half of the show here?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I got it. What else is there? I love a backpack full of shit. I have a backpack as well.
Well, because I remember there was always those Barbies that would be like, and it comes with their knapsack, and it's full of mini accessories, and I'm like, that's smart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, then that's also a reason for them to be like, and that's why it's $40.
And then you can have four like, more knapsacks.
There you go.
With different accessories going across the board. I like a nerdy Charles. I like a nerdgasm. I feel a little bit wet over here from all of the
raincoat.
The raincoat, yeah. It helped.
Raincoat not provided.
Yeah. Martin, the floor is yours.
I liked it. One thing I'm going to say is I think we all have very similar Ken dolls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhat similar Ken dolls.
We were all in the same meeting.
A couple of things that were missing. I don't know. Maybe it's just my brain that way I wanted to take it with the way the Barbie, like, you know, with the way the Barbie product is set up.
Yeah.
But I'll go over it during mine. This was why I'm glad you didn't do it, because I'm going to make mine. I want to make mine a little different than yours, Charles.
No, totally.
We both like the same things, and I like the nerd stuff, and I'm glad that you brought it, and I think we're going to all have a little bit of nerd splash in ours. Like, where's the asthmatic Ken doll? That's Marcus.
Comes with a buffer.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Right? That's me. That's my Ken doll.
I kind of did that as well too, but I'll get to it. Martin, anything else? Floor's yours, man.
No, it's good. It's fun. I'm excited. I like how we're all gonna have basically the same doll, but just slight differences.
We would all get each other's dolls.
We could be interchangeable with our accessories. Yeah. We could be a 3-pack.
Yeah,
right. You've got Portuguese, Ukrainian, and Eastern Asian. Like you've got everything that you could possibly fucking want.
And all our accessories are different, but similar.
Too much fun.
That's great.
I don't think they have a Filipino Japanese Ken doll.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Like
you could break.
They're about to.
Okay, all right. I'll shut the fuck up.
About to.
Your turn, sir. Go ahead.
I'm coming with you.
So for mine, I was like I was looking at the Barbie product line, and I'm like, well, they have, you know how Barbie has like different types of Barbie.
Yeah.
You know, they have like regular Barbie. They have Malibu Barbie.
Yeah,
they got black Barbie. Sort of thing.
Yeah.
How would I incorporate that into the Martin line? So I have two lines of Martin dolls, I guess, or Barbie Martin dolls. Winnipeg Martin and Vancouver Martin.
That's so cool.
Nice.
So here's how I'm going to say it. Winnipeg Martin is the Martin who was the younger Martin, the Martin that Mike Petro grew up with. The Martin that wanted to get laid. So more of an adult Martin. So this guy wore dress shirts, shoes that are not Converse, watches and cardigans.
Yeah, that's great.
One of the things that I liked about that stood out when we were doing our own Ken dolls, I'm like, oh, well, Barbie had her own car. What kind of car would Winnipeg Martin have? It was a 2003 Honda Civic.
It was.
It'll come with an Aqua CD with a little bit of white powder smidge on it.
Amazing.
Yes, and it'll have it'll be when you press the button for the music, it'll play Incubus, Oil and Water.
Yes, it shall. Oh my God, someone is pandering to a specific person in this panel.
And you know how Barbie has her Barbie dream house?
Yeah.
Well, mine is gonna be the Toad. The whiskey bar, right? That'll be where you can put Martin to play, and he's also gonna have a friend who's always there as well. It's gonna be called White Martin, aka Michael Petro.
I'm
that's awesome.
I'm Asian by proxy,
and he comes with the set.
Yeah, I'm just there.
Your typical Mike Petro, but this is gonna be I'm gonna go back to eyeliner Michael Petro.
Holy
with
shit!
His, fedora hat.
Oh my god! I'm so jealous of you about that one.
Yep. I just got an Apple Watch.
That's gonna be
so
there.
Cool.
That's,
my god!
That's Winnipeg Martin. Now we have Vancouver Martin, who is basically the main
favorite.
Point of his life is no longer to get laid. he's not going to own a car. He doesn't own a car, but there will be a car that you can buy. It's going to be a Tesla, but it's going to have an Uber sticker on it. That's the mode of transportation he uses now.
Nice,
In terms of clothing, Converse shoes, always Converse shoes. There's going to be like maybe 12 different types, different colors of the Converse line that you can switch out. Also, the shirts are going to be all shirts with graphic. They're all going to be like shirts of video games, anime, superhero stuff. It's just going to be nerd shirts. That's it. There's going to be different types of outfits you can wear.
Yeah.
Like I have, for sure, the one it's going to come with, because you can buy accessories. Like you can buy packs of accessories, but the shirt that it's going to come with is the Dragon Ball Z t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's the shirt it's going to come with. And also,
I'm not even telling
Martin
you guys mine. Like I'm,
things.
I can't.
Still loves whiskey, so there's gonna be whiskey involved. There's gonna be some cigars as the accessories. he's gonna have the new PlayStation the 5 portable that you can get. That's gonna be one of the accessories you can get.
Yeah.
And there's also going to still be an Aqua CD with white powder on it.
I made it to Vancouver.
But that's the Martin line I came up with.
So that's cool. Great.
Oh my God. I feel that was like right for me. Like I'm flashbacking right now and I'm like, yep, No, check that. Yep, that happened. No, definitely. And yep, we both have an. I'm sure I have an Aqua CD somewhere too with some white powder on it. Some fucking,
that's a deep cut Aqua. For yeah, those you don't know, back in like the early 2000s, weren't they?
No, man, that was late 90s, man.
Late 90s.
They spanned a bracket.
Oh yeah, they like, did. Yeah. But yeah, but no, but that was Barbie Girl.
Holy shit,
Dr. Jones and Barbie Girl, baby.
Yeah,
I don't even know. Like, those are so perfectly crafted. Like, I would pay somebody to make me those Ken dolls, and I would buy that set.
Oh, my God. So
like,
good.
I'm not joking. Like, I would.
So
I,
good.
I think the new thing will be dudes getting Ken dolls.
They should make
themselves
a Barbie land where
oh,
that's
I forgot
like
to add. I will have an asthma inhaler for both of them.
Okay.
That comes right with the accessory. Sorry, that's I mentioned great that at the top of the show, but that was real. The asthma inhaler does come with both
that's
versions
great
of mine. Because he's still asthmatic, so.
Dude, okay, the only critique I have is
kids,
you're a fucking greedy asshole and you're like trying to do a 2-for-1 and make parents spend more money on the fucking toys after.
Well, I mean, capitalism, baby.
That's really all I have to it. It's like, you can have this, but if you want the total package, you need
that's
this,
right,
this, 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 and this.
That's right.
And I'm like, I love it. But that's my only critique because then, you know, if
yeah,
we did become a Ken doll.
But doesn't, like, Barbie has that though, right? A lot of Barbie toys have, like, the package you can get just for accessories.
They do.
Yeah, like add-ons.
They
just
do
add-ons
yeah
and stuff.
Yeah, well, and that's what my motivation was for that, was to get like
well,
that kind of
add on to the original loot boxes, guys.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Your turn. That's all I got. I got
Martin,
none.
My question
sorry
is,
I just want to say, Mike, if you buy the Toad Whiskey Bar place, it comes with a Michael Petro.
Oh, it does
so
now.
You have to buy
okay
that separately.
All right. All
yeah
right.
Okay. Can
so
you buy the
that way.
Can you buy the Michael Petro doll separately?
What do you want to do to the Michael Petro doll?
It's a limited edition. It comes with a Toad.
Oh, that's
you have
fair
to buy that.
That's fair.
Holy shit. Like, I don't have a reason not to vote for him. I'm a limited edition.
limited edition.
Does Winnipeg Martin and Vancouver Martin, is there a Winnipeg Barbie and a Vancouver Barbie that pairs with them?
Oh, no. There was no specific Vancouver or Winnipeg okay Barbie that
all
pairs.
Right. No.
So they go with any Barbie and all Barbies.
Any Barbie.
Universal.
Winnipeg Martin well and Vancouver Martin are acceptable of all Barbies.
They play with
all
colors, Barbies.
All shapes, all sizes, all races. You know
that's
what I mean?
Great.
He's acceptable
okay
to all. He loves all.
That's
loves
awesome
them all.
Okay.
Martin Kent does not discriminate.
He's consensually.
He's got a universal
all
plug.
Consensually.
Yeah.
There's a universal plug on his that just plugs with any
plugs
of the other ones.
Yeah.
Plugs in any outlet, any of those ones.
Plugs in any Barbie. Oh.
It's like a USB, and then if you need it, we also have converters that come with it, too.
There's no way we weren't going to talk about having two fucking dolls having sex today, listener, just so we're clear. Like, that was not in the cards. Oh shit, anything else before I
no it's great. It's a great I love both lines, they're hilarious.
I do not want to follow this
and
up.
I love that Aqua comes with both,
right?
Yeah,
and like maybe
it's
it'll
a big
play
part
one
of my life. It
yeah
a big part of my life.
And Aqua,
listen to Aqua.
Oh yeah,
oil
yeah
and water is like ingrained in my DNA. Like Incubus, oil yeah and water in
Incubus
that 2000.
Just hearing
Civic
Incubus is amazing. So
there's
Mike has also driven home a bunch of times
yeah without a license.
I oh,
not in Paris.
Right. So that means, sorry, and that also means the Petro doll has like the eyeliner and the.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Eyeliner Petro. That's the one I want.
The eyeliner Petro.
And Fedora Petro. Fedora. You missed Fedora Petro.
You missed Fedora Petro.
Oh my God. I missed
had, like,
Fedora
five
Petro.
Fedoras.
Wow. You have a great toy line already.
Yeah. I have two bar. I have two cats
I mean,
today.
Yeah. Mike, if you vote for me, you technically win.
I totally do. Well, see, there's a thing too where, like, I found the thing where we can turn ourselves into Ken dolls, like a Kenerator, I guess.
Yeah.
So
a Kenerator.
Well, I'll send it to everybody after, and we'll all take a picture of our. We'll put our stats
and it'll do a
with,
Ken
with the Ken image, right?
Oh, I love
so,
it. That's great.
All right, so I'll close this bitch out here. So obviously there is a look to Michael Petro, and for a listener who doesn't see me out in the world that often, I'll explain it. And it is, and I did what Martin did, but I did one doll, but I took from like an other era,
old generations,
and then like what I took from that era and brought into this era, and then now
yeah
in this era, right? So there was a all black Johnny Black asshole version of me at one point.
Whoa.
During the eyeliner phase, right?
Wow.
So like I was the man in black emo,
yeah,
so to speak. So that's the ensemble is a black T-shirt that
he
I
wasn't
used
to imitating Johnny Cash. It was My Chemical Romance.
Well, actually, yes.
Oh, that's
yeah
awesome.
I was a big Gerard fan, so. I had a few t-shirts that were specific. I had a Green Day t-shirt I rocked until I had holes in the pits.
I remember that.
There it is. I had a You've Died of Dysentery shirt, right, from Okanagan Trail.
Oh, my God.
Like, and these were the Friday night outfits. I had a black.
How did I not meet this, Michael? I'm so jealous.
You probably did.
Probably. Yeah.
But you saw him at the bar, yeah. You know?
Yeah. I was out and about. I had a black skate hoodie that had thumb holes in it.
Oh, my God.
That, like, was ratty in the back. So, yeah. Like, this is that. Black Vans, black skinny jeans.
Oh.
And, like either a black fedora.
It was Did you have a chain?
Yeah, I had a chain.
Oh, my God.
But it was a black fedora. It was from Miami Ink. Right? So, like, it
was
like,
Dave. What was his name? The guy who was with Carmen Electra?
Yeah, Dave Navarro. Yeah, that's where. Yeah. All that Miami Ink shit.
Yeah.
So there's that, the black square frame glasses. I also had the old, like 80s daddy rape glasses kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
Like the Dahmer glasses. So either
the
or.
The Dahmers.
A black bracelets of some kind. Obviously, Martin is already. I'm very limited. This is the limited edition version
and you had
of Martin's set that I'm describing.
You had, like, the OC.
Mine's a limited. Mike is, like, the full release. Cause it was
the full release.
They have to release a full version of the Dahmer.
Yeah.
Limited
by popular demand.
I'm like Russell Brand from, like,
Get Him to the Greek?
Get Him to the Greek, right?
Yeah.
I'm only there.
Eldest Snow?
Eldest Snow's character,
oh, my
right?
God.
Yeah. Oh,
so the bracelets you had, let me guess, they were those thick ones? Like,
no, they were black skinny leather bracelets.
Oh, my God. Multiple ones?
I had multiple ones.
Oh,
right?
My God, that's
so
great.
Much jewelry.
Nail polish, right?
Yeah, black.
So black nail polish.
Oh, my God.
Remember what's his dick from Lost?
What's his dick? Sawyer?
Charlie?
I used to
put
Hobbitses.
Yeah, Hobbitses. Second breakfast.
Yeah.
He used to paint his
He
painted his nails. I used to put tape on my knuckles as well too.
Oh my God.
So, like, this is the
That was his muse.
It was my muse. Also, I can't obviously forget my carabiner, my totem, right? My janitor.
Yeah,
keys
that's right. Yeah.
And I'm gonna be honest here, the bald spot's been there for a while, so there will be a optional hairpiece or bald spot. Either or is fine. I don't care. It's who I am. The accessories.
Optional. I like that it's optional.
Now that that's who I was, this is who I am. I'm the podcasting nerd, right? So it's a podcasting Barbie. So the backpack, the laptop, the recording gear, the headphones, the SD cards, multiple cables falling out of the backpack, right?
Yeah.
Like, just ready to go, ready to record at any given time. A pack of smokes with no lighter. Everybody at work will understand that joke because I never have a lighter. And I'm Humphrey fucking Bogart from Casablanca. I steal lighters.
Yeah.
There's like 50 lighters in the bag over there, Charles. It's ridiculous. A pack of stick-on tattoos that you can put on me.
Aww.
And I'll even let you do the bullshit monster tattoo that I have here. This was a line for every year that I was sober. I thought I was doing it. And then accidentally it just looked like the monster claw after four lines. I was like, I can't do anything with this tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
So you get all my shitty tattoos as well as my favorite ones. And then Martin will love this, a container of Just for Men beard dye. Because there was a time when the gray started coming in.
No.
That I would dye it. But I wouldn't dye it.
I love it.
I wouldn't dye it in its entirety. I would just dye the gray. So then I'd have these ultra black patches.
So it was more noticeable because you just have
I drew
really
more
black
attention
patches
to my face than I did before.
That's
and
awesome.
My Kennergy would simply be that I would bring the world of podcasting to Barbie. I would get Barbie out to the masses, right? Barbie's dream house would be converted into like a Paisley Park.
Yeah,
like Prince's house where like she can record in any room. She can record her thoughts.
Yeah.
We can get Barbie out on the podcast platform and spread Margot Robbie's joy and Greta Gerwig's care of the character and get it out to the
world. Do want to give a shout out to Michael Keaton's Ken from Toy Story 3 and how how great his
Ken. The only other Ken on screen, really.
Yeah, I'd say like, or at least the last one really that we
was
like,
there a Barbie cartoon? We'll get to that after. That's there it is.
So cool.
Guys, there's your best of. It's like something borrowed, something blue, something old, something new. Ooh, right, like I made a Ken doll out of the best parts of two eras. Charles, you can go first.
I'm
not dressing up for you, by the way.
It's great. I mean, I love that. Without you guys, I assume planning, it was amazing how it's like an inception of a product line here.
No shit.
There was so much popularity with the scene Petro line that we did the full release and we went for it. And it's been sold out just on pre-order alone already.
It's like a PlayStation 5. It's
literally. No, I love you really knew how to cater to the supply and demand of it. I think it's hilarious.
Well, that was an impromptu piggyback. Like, I had no idea what was coming, I'll just play into that.
I love how much accessories it comes with. I think that's great, too.
Yeah. Well, it's the good and the bad of me, right? Like, I'm not going to be, like, the perfect Ken doll because I'm certainly not the perfect human.
I like that you're teaching kids that, too, how they'll be pieces of shit at some point.
Yeah, you'll make bad decisions about the tattoos you put on your body. And this is what they'll look like. And I want it to be like literally the thing will be a monster can, and then you just pull the claw off and put that on as the tattoo,
right?
That's
so funny.
Because it's such a bad fucking tattoo.
And they'll bring that doll to all their first tattoos.
Yes. Don't do this to me.
Yeah, and that'll be their monster claw.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was great. Right. I don't know. I don't have any... I love everybody's, honestly. I don't really have any negative. Everybody's was awesome. So
yours is like it's exactly. I was like, if you come over here with like Charles Ken doll, a priest, or Charles Ken doll, a fucking astronaut or something.
Yeah,
right?
I was like,
no, you're coming over here with and then like with Martin, I was like, he's gonna play into like two different people, right? Because like he's been here for one version of his life, and now he's there for another version of his life. Like
it's so good.
Martin, anything? Floor's yours.
I liked it. I mean, it was a really good pivot, Mike, considering, you know, what with my argument, because I had to have you in my mind. So, but a really good pivot. One thing that I was looking for was I wanted you, like, if you were going to make a line with your old self, it was pre-beard Petro. It was no beard.
That's right.
That was a huge thing. Mike Petro without a beard. That's when I first met Mike.
Yeah. Like no facial hair?
When I first met him.
No.
Whoa.
No.
You were a clean shave.
I had the disgusting, very not attractive to a very attractive to a small amount of people soul patch.
Oh, you had a soul patch.
I had
nice.
A soul patch.
And I could see you rocking that.
Yeah. Like soul patch, like me and Martin, we hung out in two different versions of ourselves. We hung out in our blacks at work, and then we hung out in, like, I hung out in my blacks out of work.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for, like, a super long time, it was, like,
Eras, man.
Cemetery Drive, My Chemical Romance. Yeah. Paint my eyes fucking shut.
That's great.
I got magic marker, the nail, whatever.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, there was no beard at one point. So, good call. Yeah, no, I should have had, like, a...
attachable beard?
Well, yeah, but in stages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, where it's, like, the soul patch, and then it goes to the beard.
You have it as one piece, and you can take, like, the top, the
very bottom
off.
Yeah.
And then that piece.
Like a Mr. Potato Head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anything else, Martin, before we vote?
No, it's good. I like everyone's pick, and I think we should all email Mattel and then have them listen to this episode.
Fuck a toy pitch.
Special made. If they can do it special made for us, that would be an awesome thing.
A great toy pitch.
Like, just imagine like a diorama in the Real Debater studio of each of our dolls just hanging out.
Yeah. I want the whole thing. Yeah. Like, let's 3D print this shit if
we
can.
Yeah, like do a mock-up.
Right?
We can get mock-ups.
Yeah. My stepdad's got 4 printers. We'll figure out how to send in some sort of mock-up. Trademark the shit out of it and be like, here you go, guys. We're
I love it.
The Real Debaters and Mattel Ken dolls.
Yeah.
Right?
Can I also make a suggestion before we start voting?
Yeah.
Of course.
Just to make Jimmy angry and to get us ahead in the points, everyone's was good. Can we just have like a 3-way tie win and everyone gets a point?
I think that's totally fair.
I'm very fine.
Is that fair? Instead
that,
of voting,
you know what?
I think
vote
so.
If we all vote, can we all vote now?
Yeah.
If that's the thing?
Yeah.
I vote yes.
I vote yes. I'm in.
Yeah. You know why?
All right, then we all won.
Because that's what Barbie and Ken would
so
do.
So cool.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly. Everyone wins.
Totally.
There's no losers.
There's no losers on this one.
Totally.
Right? Let's have some happy.
Yeah.
Let's have some, like, everybody's lift. All tides lift.
So, Mike,
all
ships. We all get a point on the chalkboard for this episode.
We do. I like that because I don't get many, so I'll take it. Well, there you have it, listener. You have a lovely... new 3 Kens to pitch Mattel on. If we don't, you feel free to. We're fine with it. Just give us 10%. That's all
we
ask. My God, yeah, having a Charles and a Martin, whichever version you want, and a Michael in the Toad whiskey bar.
Oh my God,
hanging out
great.
In fucking diorama. Like, I'm willing to buy. I'm really willing to buy actual Ken dolls and strip them down and then rebuild them back up with that shit. If we can't get our own, let's just buy 3
and
of them.
And remember, all of them are they work with all Barbies.
They do.
That's
They're interchangeable.
That's right.
And we have converters if we need.
Yeah,
exactly,
that's right.
Right?
That's
we can just put a wig on and it's like, fuck it, who cares?
That's right.
It's 2023. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
Obviously, so you've got your Barbie ticket already because you've done your thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah, we're excited.
I'm fucking... just so behind this movie. I was so like, what the hell is this at first?
Yeah.
But as I started to find out how it was made and who made it and everything like that, and like Margot Robbie gives a big fuck about it.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And I think the Toy Story angle is fucking
it's
hilarious.
It's so funny.
Yeah, I think it's really funny.
Well, and to incorporate Barbie's, what Mattel's trying to do with Barbie now, where it's bring her into the present and make her more of a 2023 Barbie instead of a 1960s Barbie.
Yeah. Because
that wasn't a good time for women to be inspired to do a thing.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So showing that story through going into a present day world and trying to be Barbie from then to now. That's fucking awesome.
Just going to take off my pants. It's really hot here.
Do it, dude. Yeah. No,
it's also cool to see Barbie get reinvented for another generation of like kids again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause like when we were growing up, I feel like Barbie was a little bit more like, I don't really see or hear, like, when was the last time you heard like Barbie was the craze of the toy market? Right. Like,
You haven't really seen it in the forefront in a while.
When we were growing up, that seemed like Barbie was still a pretty, like, all my girl cousins had Barbies. Like,
everyone wanted to buy one for Christmas if you were a girl back in the day, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I think this movie's also doing that, and it's smart from Mattel's standpoint. Like, that's obviously why they're happy about it too, is like it gives them a reason.
Known for. If you think Mattel, you think Barbie.
Yeah, that's
the big one.
And have you guys seen like Margot? She's so awesome. She knows what she's doing.
She's worn every outfit from almost
like the first toy line.
Multiple different toys from like the first and second era. She's matched her outfit to the red carpet.
Yeah, her hair and her accessories and her dress.
And like,
it's so cool.
You know,
it's a great idea.
There's gonna they're gonna poke, you can already see where they're poking fun at stuff.
Yeah.
And it's poking fun at the fact that they're innocent and naive and that they're toys entering a new world.
Yeah.
So, Barton, are you going to go see it opening day? Or are you going to wait a minute?
I'm going to wait a bit. I think my for sure thing I want to see first is Oppenheimer.
That's it.
But I'll probably see it eventually. I don't know when, but I'll definitely check it out once it.
Totally.
Maybe streaming. I don't know.
I'll call it right now. It's going to be a $1 billion hit.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be, like, I think when the internet receives something well from a trailer, I think that just generally makes all studios be like, okay, awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, especially something like Barbie.
This isn't the Sonic trailer.
Was going to be a very hit or miss.
Yeah.
Right? It was either going to make people be like, this looks like shit, or like, wow, I'm intrigued. And for the most part, everyone was like, I'm very intrigued by this, right? Like,
it's just sad that it is up against Oppenheimer, because Oppenheimer could be a $700 million, $800 million movie, probably break even, make $100 million, right?
Totally
could be.
But also,
I don't think it's, like, you have to double feature this.
Yeah, like, they complement each other so well. Like, that's why I feel like starting with Oppenheimer makes sense, because it's going to be so heavy.
Well, and it's...
From start to finish, that's going to be a heavy movie.
It's so...
You know what I mean?
It's so odd that, like... Cruise has been like, I've got my Barbie and my Oppenheimer tickets.
Yeah.
But he's the weekend before.
Yeah.
Like, have we ever seen like three actors from three different competing studios all having movies the same weekend apart from each other? That's Universal, Paramount, and Warner Brothers all at the same time
within
7 days.
Yeah.
And the second weekend needs to be half the first weekend to pop.
You know, it's also nuts too, is that neither of them are like, Disney's not a part of it. That's also wild too.
It is.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Pixar already had their flop with Elemental, right?
Well, and technically Indie's Disney too, right?
It is. I saw it last night. It's a huge Disney 100 logo.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oppenheimer. I think if I go see it, I'll see Oppenheimer in the same theater with you. Are you at Landmark or you're?
No, we're going to Polo.
You're going to
IMAX.
Polo.
Okay. Polo IMAX.
That's right, because there is no IMAX outside of.
We looked at Landmark, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it was all like, they're just doing pre-sale for one theater.
That's right. You were saying before show. Yeah.
And they're all like sold out. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Before we get out of here, we just want to say as a show that the writer's strike and the SAG strike, Real Debaters supports the shit out of that.
For sure.
So if you're American and you listen to this, know up here in Canada that I donated some bucks last night to one of the funds to keep writers and underpaid, not Matt Damon, not Angelina Jolie actors in the money.
So
I'll throw that in the bottom of this too. But it just happened within the last 48 hours, and it's insane.
It's nutty.
It's insane.
It's getting really nutty.
Like, I'm sure Vancouver's going to shuttle really fast. Calgary's already been hit hard.
Yeah.
I know one production has been pushed here, and it was huge. It had a huge horror name behind it.
Yeah.
It had a huge cast. It had a singer and a very well-known actor, which I'll tell you about after, because I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you about it now. But that got pushed because of it. So
that's what I mean. Like, I was telling you, like, there's no way with the writers and actors doing this that Hollywood can really, really even talk about October. There's no way. There's no way.
The amount of time that it's going to take to find everybody. You know what it's like? It's like that scene in Armageddon when they have to, when everybody scrambles off the
ring. Yeah.
That's what it's going to be like to find everybody who's, because what's going to happen is if they didn't like being on Deadpool and they get hired for something else, then they might not come back low enough key position.
Yeah.
So you're going to have maybe.
And that happened last time with the strike. When they started coming back, they were getting better jobs for other things, and then there was a huge switch up with stuff. Right?
Have you seen anything in Vancouver, Martin, about it so far? Like, is anybody striking out there in support of?
Nothing. I haven't seen anything so far, but I mean, it's still early, though. I'm sure there'll be something here.
Yeah,
to do
There's no way
big market. Film is such a big market here in Vancouver. So much stuff is filmed here, so I wouldn't be surprised.
No, totally.
Yeah, there's no way it won't ripple effect at some point, right? Like, for sure.
It's crazy, man.
It's nuts, man. But I mean, it's necessary.
So, like, listener, just some key points that have come out so that you're aware why they're striking. If you were a person and you couldn't work a lot to feed yourself and were never paid a residual for something that you created, that's what the writers are striking for. They've been limited on how much they can write on shows and when they can work off those shows on other shows. So there's less time to work with less seasons to write for, which has less money and no residuals. 50-cent residual checks.
And also,
Sean,
like,
Gunn got a someone got a 50-cent residual check for something on Netflix.
That's so dumb.
And, like, legally they have to pay them.
But, like, also, it's just streaming has changed everything so much. And they have to address it. They can't ignore it. They can't change these stupid... They can't keep these same stupid rules. Like, streaming has changed everything.
Just because streaming's business model is what it is doesn't mean you can't pay somebody something every time it hits a marker.
For sure.
If you're going to stream and you say it hits 100 million, 200 million, 500 million, a billion views, there should be a tier system for that.
Yeah.
How you do your business, if you want to play in the game of making film,
totally,
you should be able to pay the people that are making it instead of saying, oh, we don't have enough money because they're so heavy on the production side that they pay everybody up front.
Yeah.
And then they want all the subscriptions to come in and not have to pay any of that subscription dollar.
No, for sure.
It's fucking evil.
Yeah, it's insane.
But the other thing is that imagine if you were an actor and you were a background actor where everybody starts, and then all of a sudden you get seen and someone wants to cast you. Well, what the studios want to do is they want to AI the shit out of you and then keep your likeness in perpetuity, never pay you again for anything they use you for. And when you get big enough, they won't need you because they got you. And it was $200 for one day of work they wanted to pay. They called it a groundbreaking AI proposal.
And that's what I mean. Like, I started here as a background actor, and then I went to Toronto and I started doing auditions and I got commercials and stuff. But technically, with the way they want to do it, is that I would have never been able to do that, because even if they did see potential, they would have had my likeness.
Yeah.
I could have gone to auditions in Toronto. They'd be like, oh, we got it already.
Exactly.
And I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You're picking palettes now instead of characters and people.
Yeah.
And that's why studios and suits don't fucking get this shit. Yeah. So anybody in Vancouver who's going to suffer in Calgary and Winnipeg, this is a pro strike show. So if we could walk and do more than just donate money, we would. But there's no place here that would. They'd be like, those guys are just
we'll
fans.
Burn something.
Yeah, we'll burn something on your behalf. You know,
we'll figure it out. We'll find something.
All the proceeds
burn.
From our Ken dolls will go to you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
So Charles has got a family reunion. I'm getting hungry. I'm sure Martin needs to either take a nap.
I'm getting hungry.
There it is. Yeah. Are you?
Mike gets hungry.
Yeah, Mike gets low blood sugar now that he's 40. So thank you, listener, for tuning in. If this is your first time and you want more of us, just subscribe to the show. It's free. It's easy. Apple, Spotify, whatever podcast player you're listening to this on. Whoever's playing this for you, if you like it, that's the easiest way to support the show. Subscribe and give us a great review if you like what you heard. Party on, Wayne?
Yeah. Party on, Garth. I'm Portuguese Ken.
I have been limited edition release Martin Navarro featuring Michael Eyeliner Petro at the Toad in the Hole.
I'm full edition, brand new limited release Ken Doll Michael. Watch all the movies, kids. Say bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Farewell and adieu to you, fair Spanish ladies.